Joining me now is Brent Beard of First Coast News, also co-host of the SEC and Helping podcast. Brent, hopefully your holiday was a good one. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing okay. We're getting some much-needed rain here, but we're unbelievably a week away from SEC Media Days and what might be going on at that time. Always enjoy being at Media Days. I think it's always valuable, and certainly it will be this year, too.
Absolutely. Well, and so there's a couple things I want to ask you about these media days. I guess, number one, it seems like things have kind of calmed down and our focus has been shifted from this whole Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban deal. But do you think that's going to rehash itself next week?
No. They'll be asked about it, but they will be under strict orders from the SEC to not get involved with that again. So you won't see anything else said except we have decided to move on. So that will be the mantra from both of them. Now, the media will try to stir that up.
Sure.
But there will be nothing else that will happen in that area. So that's just as well. The league doesn't want anything else said about dueling coaches and dragging up any kind of skeletons in the closet. So the media will try, but nothing will come of it.
How much do you think is going to be actually revolving around the coaches and their programs as opposed to either the Jimbo situation with Nick Saban or all of this realignment stuff that's going on? How much do you think is really going to be focused on strictly college football on the field and not off of it?
I think probably more than we realize.
Okay.
I mean, what has happened today, and I give Matt Hayes credit for this, from Saturday Down South, Matt is saying that there will be no more movement on the part of the SEC, at least in the immediate term. So, which they will stay now at 16 instead of responding to the move by the Big Ten. So, look, I've always said that expansion is never dead, but it's only dormant, and I'm guessing that's what it will be this time.
What has been your biggest takeaway of realignment so far? Is it what the SEC hasn't really done since the Big Ten has done this, or is there anything that has really caught your eye or been the biggest takeaway here over the last couple of weeks?
Probably just how all these schools are really in a panic, maybe too big of a word, but that they are, it's every man for themselves is what it amounts to. So I don't have any doubt that they're looking at what they need to do. And the ACC really limited themselves and what that they would do. And with this, the situation with the exit fee and the grant of rights not being available until 2035, I'm sorry. So I think just the fact of geography really, again, doesn't matter anymore, and it really does make you wonder what is ahead for the Pac-12. Does Washington, Oregon stay, or do they go to the Big Ten? And what about the Big 12? And Big 12 Media Days or this week. Mm-hmm. So we'll be hearing a lot about that. I think the volatile nature of all this and where it still may go remains to be something that's fascinating. There really is nothing that gets the interest of fans and media like expansion does.
And this is really, I mean, we obviously had the Oklahoma and Texas news that we've known for quite some time now, but with USC and UCLA being announced, and all of a sudden everybody, as you said, media really turned it into a whole panic attack and a frenzy, if you will, of what if this happened? And there's so many different things on social media now where people are combining conferences that make no sense at all, just as a joke. But in all seriousness, though, the regional aspect of this sport, Brent, I'm trying to think of ways that we can still have the tradition and the rivalries even amidst some of this realignment. But where do you see the sport going here in the next three to five years? Is there any way are there any fans who are just going to say, you know what, this sport is way different than what I grew up watching. I don't know if this is for me anymore.
Well, I think you're seeing some of that go on, unfortunately. Now, I do think the games save us as soon as we get back on the field, that people will overlook a lot of this and they will move on to some kind of normalcy. But you've still got a lot of people who don't like UCLA and USC going to the Big Ten and traveling across the country. And again, there's some of this we don't know about how that's going to play out. And you've got some people, and I've heard it, you probably have too, who really have said that they might be close to, I'm not going to say giving up on the sport, but just having some real issues with where we are and where we may be going. I still think where we're going, Drew, is going to be maybe still some movement, obviously, in conferences. And then I think probably at some point we're going to have a situation with probably 40 to 60 schools that break away from the NCAA and form their own entity, and then the rest of them stay under the NCAA. I still think that might be coming sometime in the next few years. I do think is a real possibility.
If there were there's been, you know, schools rumored with the SEC, whether it be Clemson or Florida State, Miami, even North Carolina. Reese Davis saying that North Carolina might be the biggest brand in the ACC, just from academic standpoint, from a basketball school, from being a football program that has got Mac Brown coming in again. How much of it do you think is related to, obviously it's related to the TV deals and the contracts and the money and all of that stuff, but how much of this do you think we have to remind ourselves, hey, we are dealing with academic institutions that happen to have college football. We're not dealing with college football teams that also happen to offer academics.
That is still an issue with the presidents because they make these decisions. So I'm wondering here with the SEC today, what is going on behind the scenes? Did the president say they've had enough, along with Greg Sankey? We can't forget that in some of these movements is the presidents, Drew, want if they bring somebody in, they want it to be someone that is a member of the what they call the AAU. It's that athletic circle that Big Ten schools just love. So that's why you get some strange bedfellows in expansion, because the schools that we think you would normally get, that may not be the case anymore because of athletics. So there's no doubt that we can never forget that's a part of this stuff too.
Absolutely. So going to SEC Media Days, obviously it's something different than what I'm going to ask you here again, speaking with Brent Beard of First Coast News and co-host of the SEC and Helping podcast. If you were to take all the SEC quarterbacks, who would be in your top five going into this season?
Will Levis, Bryce Young, easily, KJ Jefferson at Arkansas. I still think you might throw Stetson Bennett in there. I see your fastest, biggest limitations are there. But so is he. And I think you could probably say I'm still not sure Anthony Richardson may not be in there in terms of talent, Drew. If he's lightning in a bottle the way we think he might be, then he would make a, I think, tremendous difference. But look, the reality for this year is this may be the deepest group of quarterbacks that we have seen in a while. And I know I left some guys out, but I think that tells you just basically where we are for the moment and how good some of this bunch could still end up being all in all. So, but Hendon Hooker's got to be in that group. I think it's a possibility you've still got some schools that they don't quite know who it's going to be. Calzada is going to be at Auburn. I'm pretty sure that Jackson Dart at Ole Miss. Now, where's LSU going to go? That'll be fascinating. But I know I've given you more than five. But isn't that an indication, though, Drew, the problem is the quarterback of this year are so deep that you could easily make an argument for several of these teams, and we don't know who A&M is going to be yet. So you either really know when he's a potential All-American, or he's like A&M, Auburn, LSU. You've got a room full of quarterbacks, and you don't know who it's going to be yet.
Yeah, I was going to ask you actually about how how deep is this one of the deepest quarterback, I guess, classes, if you will, of the SEC. I mean, and you didn't even mention Spencer Rattler either, and not to say that he's going to be amazing, but he's a guy that at one point was a five-star recruit, was a really good quarterback, and was at one point thought of to be a guy to go in the top five in the NFL draft. So maybe Shane Beamer can get him going again. I want to ask you one more question about Anthony Richardson. Is the biggest question with him his durability as opposed to anything else? Because it seems like, as you said, he's got the talent, Brent. It's just now he's got the opportunity and the pathway that Dan Mullen's gone, Emory Jones is gone, and he can be that guy. Is the biggest thing holding him back potentially his durability, or do you think that that's not necessarily a question that people are asking right now?
Well, you're always going to have issues now with his durability and his health. But to me, the biggest question for him is going to be, there are films out with him throwing the ball, and I think this is a Manning passing camp that they've got him throwing the ball. I mean, my goodness, Drew, it looked like he threw the ball 80 yards. But the thing about it is, what I want to know is, We know it. This is almost like a kicker who can kick at 80 yards. What matters with Richardson is, I don't care how strong his arm is, can Richardson throw a 7 yard out and be accurate in the fourth quarter in a tie game on fourth and five in Baton Rouge? That's what I want to know. Yeah. I don't care that he can throw it 70 yards. Can he put it on the money when he absolutely has to do it?
Well, Brenna, I think that's definitely one of the more intriguing questions. And as we get closer to the season, we'll be asking you more about those quarterbacks. But appreciate the time. You have a good week, and we'll talk to you next time.
Good. Take care, bud.